In the podcast system, sexually awkward situations are considered absolutely hilarious. In the state of Texas, the dedicated G's who regurgitate these gag-worthy stories are members of an elite squad known as the Kiss Me Fat Boy Unit. These are their stories.
Fuck this club up! Fuck this club up! Fuck it!
I was actually going to sit there and say that. You stole my line!
You were going to say it?
Yeah, I was looking like, fuck this club up! Fuck it!
All right, so let's go ahead and I'll give the disclaimer. You as a listener are deciding if this is a conversation or a confrontation regarding the topics we address on this episode. It's been a really long time. I feel like, right, we talked about like, oh, is this going to be like the finale or are we going to continue, blah, blah, blah. But we're kind of just going based off of how we feel, more so how I feel. So,
yes.
Yeah, we're just taking it day by day, you know.
We like to dedicate this season finale episode to Ray's grandma, mama, grandmama, what's her last name?
Rivera.
Rivera. I was about to say that. I just didn't want to sit there and, you know, to grandmama Rivera. She passed away the day after Thanksgiving, and it's been very hard for Ray.
Yeah, no, you know, I... during the whole funeral services, like the rosary and the burial, I didn't grieve as much, but it's because like I was actually there for when she passed. So it was Thanksgiving, which is what, the 24th? No, the 23rd. Thanksgiving was the 23rd, right, of November? Like that Thursday?
Yes. Yes, it was.
So I was with my family. I was eating. Then I got a call from the nurse saying that, her vitals were dropping significantly, specifically her heart rate, and that they had to give her dopamine in order to keep her pretty much living, and that they would do it at my request, my approval, just so the family can say goodbye. So it literally happened like right then and there. So, you know, I was with her. My family came, gave their respects, you know, all that. So it started around 7, maybe 8-ish. When they took her off the dopamine, and it took her about 6 or 7 hours. So she died. I remember it because literally I stayed there. Everyone else left, but I was there in the room and stayed with her the entire time. And it was 3:44 because I had fell asleep for a little bit and I was kind of feared. Like it was like 3 o'clock and I was like, bro, I'm going to fall asleep and then she's going to fucking pass. But luckily, like the heart monitor. What's a monitor that monitors all the vitals? So her heart rate kept going from like 86, 40, and then it would like go to 20, and then she would stop. Her heart would stop. And then finally it started to flatline, and then consistently for more than like 30, because she was flatlining a lot, but then it would pick back up. And then finally around 3:44, that's when she officially like flatlined and went for minutes. And then they waited like 6 minutes, I think. And time of death was like 3:50. I'm being very specific and giving like these details. But anyways, it's because I'm nervous, and because when I like go back there, I'm just like,
reliving it all over again.
Yeah, I relive it. You know, I teleport back to like that moment. So, no, I grieved the entire time she was there. Held her hand. I've never told my grandmother. I can't remember as a kid. I definitely can't remember as an adult when I told my grandmother I loved her, and then she actually said it back. So I did that. I actually did that, and she was conscious, and she told me she loved me too, and she grabbed my hand. And okay. Yeah. Anyways, I don't want to get all emotional, but yeah, no, I, cause that was, a goal of mine since I've been in therapy since about January, where she gave me that task to tell my grandmother that. And I actually did it. I'm glad she was coherent for it, you know, when I told her. And yeah, I finally told her, like, I even spoke when I spoke at the funeral, the rosary services. I was like, you know, my grandmother was passing, you know, it was sort of beautiful. And I was like, it was beautiful because of the vulnerability that she exposed. I've never seen my grandmother that vulnerable. If it wasn't for like something that I was going through, or my brother was going through, where she was like hurting for someone else. This was just for herself, 100% for herself, because she was dying. Her vulnerability was coming from within for her. So that was the most beautiful thing about her passing. And of course, that she's no longer suffering, you know? So I tell these people all the time, I was like, you know what? I fucking miss her a lot, but I'm also okay and doing all right because she's not in pain anymore. So, you know, but anyways, yeah. That's, I'm still grieving. I'm on. I had to delay my bereavement. Luckily, my job, which I'm not going to disclose what job, who I work for, what company, but they gave me 10 days. I took 2 days for the rosary and for the burial, and then thereafter they allowed me to finish out my quarter end, because December is our quarter end. It's our second quarter. No, it's our first quarter for the new fiscal year, and they allowed me to take the delayed bereavement of like 8 days. And then on top of that, we have corporate Christmas break, so we shut down from like almost like kind of like how the school system does. So I've been off since like as of last Monday, and I don't go back to like January 3rd or 4th, one of those days. So it's been nice, and I have done absolutely no fucking work, because I told myself, you know what? I'm really going to put myself first and not do any work, no matter what I see, no matter how big the emergency. I actually delegated. This is the first time in almost 3 years, excuse me, maybe even more, where I've let hand, I've delegated my work duties to someone else. Like, usually I'll go on vacation and I'll maybe a day or two, and then I follow up and I was like, I need to answer this, I need to action this, I need to do this. Have not done that at all whatsoever. I've looked at them, you know, I've read them, but I haven't fucking actioned them or responded or told anybody. I've just like let the chips fall where they may. Who's gonna handle it? I mean, the people are delegated for it, but you know, it's like an emergency, like, whew, because, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into the specific. I know I did put something on my IG where I was like, you know, all that crying that we did and for you just to end up door dashing. You know, nobody cried at my graduation because I didn't graduate. I got my GED, but I bragged a little bit. You know, I did a little flex. I'm not going to say what I said because that does violate the NDA. And but I took it right down. but whatever. So I was like, you know, I just didn't want, yeah, I didn't think it would violate it. It didn't, but just to be safe, I took it down because someone's like, hey, wouldn't this be like a violation of your NDA or maybe a clause or whatever? I was like, you know what, to not risk it, I just took it down.
Yes, and if anybody's wondering, Ray works at Burger King, because you can have it your way, but don't get crazy.
You stupid. You so stupid. But yeah, that's my update. I have not looked at work emails, and my grandmother's passing. And yeah, that's my update in life. And
but let's get to the nitty gritty of having to like get older, right, and be delegated the responsibility of another family member, right? Like, would you sit there and say that it's kind of also been a little bit difficult to kind of like go back to being a civilian now? And what I mean by that is like not having to worry about appointments and schedules and making sure that you're in a, you know, like all that kind of stuff that you were used to, you know, handling on your grandma's behalf. Like, has it been kind of weird to not get that kind of task completed day to day?
You know what? That's actually really good, because there's no way for me to address it. So like, I've opened up to people like saying, you know, there was one point I remember when I was with my old tribe. I'll give you an update on that too, guys. Don't worry, it's coming. But my old tribe, I expressed to them the last time we hung out, I was like, you know, it's sometimes I wish my grandmother would just hurry up and pass, because it's a lot. And that's fucking real, bro. It is a lot. Mm-hmm. It is a lot when you're dealing with someone who, at the time, she had cancer, you know, and thankfully the radiation helped and it completely diminished. Like, that's crazy. My grandmother fucking beat, you know, COVID. She beat cancer, but ultimately she died of her, her kidneys were failing and then her heart started to fail due to her diabetes. So, but like, damn, bro, the two things, the two big C's that could have taken anybody out, almost a lot of people out, didn't take her out, but this took her out, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it was for my dad, especially too, because he was an in-house at home caregiver. It was way more 100% on him, because he had to deal with her, feeding her. He never took her bath. They had somebody come do that for her. But changing her sheets, washing her clothes, you know, just attending to her, hearing her going through the feelings and the motions of like dying and being in pain and suffering and all these things, he had to deal with it on a daily basis. So for him, it's like a huge weight lifted off of him. And for me, it was just more of the admin side, you know, just there taking care of the everyday task of like taking to her appointments, following up on her medication, you know, finding, getting more information on what treatment she's doing now or what's happening now or taking her to the hospital, being there. Like every time she went to the hospital, the doctor, I would take over. You know, I would have loved to have been there with her, but because my dad lives with her, I can't be in that. I can't live in dysfunction. Yeah. I physically, my sanctuary cannot be in dysfunction. I can't do that, bro. Like I can't. And I'm not saying it was dysfunctional. I am saying that. Like it was my, I'm not going to, this is not a pretty picture. This is not like people who think that, like, especially if your family's already dysfunctional, you know, or toxic in some ways, or they have toxic tendencies or traditions or what have you, right? And that's how my family was as well. So it's been a huge weight lifted off. It's not been like, oh my God, like I need to do this, I need to do that. No. It was a lot. And I live like with traffic, it would be like 40 minutes away from my grandmother. Without traffic, it's almost like 25 minutes. So I would have to haul my ass to and from. I recently just finished paying off all my toll bills for when I was going to the hospital and taking my grandmother to cancer treatments, her radiation treatments. Like I had $280 worth of tolls. And that there was more because I was paying on it, but I was making payments. You know, I'm just being transparent. So, you know, because, you know, with tolls, you get a little lazy. You know, they ain't going to be doing all this and that. You know, whatever. I was just saying.
Did you
I just
know, finally did. Actually, go ahead. Sorry, just because you brought this up and this irked me. Okay. Did you know that? No, did you know the tollways are actually privately owned? Which basically means that there are companies out there who actually own these tollways that aren't even in the United States of America.
But not even their sponsorships, right? They're like, oh, we're going to give you X amount of dollars. And then, right, they do the sponsorships and then they get paid triple times that.
Yeah, I thought it was like a wild thing because I remember back in 06, I think it was 06, when the High Five came about and, you know, in Dallas and stuff, it started really kind of like making Dallas a lot bigger. And so tolls became inevitable or whatever, the Dallas, you know, the Dallas North Tollway came into play, and there was all this bullshit about like, oh yeah, you know, we're gonna go ahead and just charge the people back, you know, to get the money back for what we paid for this, only to sit there and get it within like the first day, and then be like, oh no, we're gonna use this tolls to sit there and pay teacher salaries and the firefighters and the police department.
What happens is the people that make the donation get the money back, but what we so right they make the donation, they get the money back by charging people, but I believe there's a split cost. So a certain amount goes to them, and then the certain amount goes to the city. The city ordinances, they pay this, they pay that, the city taxes and everything, right? But everybody's getting a cut. Bro, like, if it's not bad enough, we have to purchase our car, right? We purchase our car, we have to make monthly bills, then we got to insure our car. And then we got to fucking pay a cost, and I'm talking about the registration, the renewal, right? The registration that we do every year. And we have to pay to fucking drive on the roads, and then we got to pay to actually physically go through the roads. Like, bro, we're paying for every single thing when it comes to our vehicles. Insuring it, paying for it monthly, you know, driving on the roads, making sure that the roads are maintained. Mm-hmm. Like, we're paying for every fucking thing. Bro, there's a fucking fee for every fucking thing. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, that's one of the biggest scams in the fucking world. Like, I don't even get me started on that. But yeah, no, I was gonna say
they need to bring that on the ballot this upcoming year. Who gonna get rid of them tolls?
Okay.
Right? Because if a Republican
says, registration fees.
I was gonna say, because if a Republican say I'll get rid of the tolls, you got my vote.
Oh my God. Anyway, you know what? He's not wrong. He's not wrong. It's like, you know, a Republican these days. I don't want to get into politics, though, but, you know, it's like I'm leading a little bit over here.
Baby, let me tell you right now, I done voted Democrat 3 times already. You know.
And it's like, you know what? It's not working. It's just not working. Yeah.
It's not, baby. It's not. Trust and believe. Oh, but anyways, so, you know, I told my mom, right, because my mom, like, she doesn't necessarily always know how to convey healthy responses, or what we deem or what others deem as healthy responses to, like, agitation, right, or like having to get pulled out of her routine or something of that nature of that day, for her to go, like, you know, worry about my grandma, right? But like, my mom will sit there and tell you, she's like, you know, I'll do anything for my mom, it doesn't matter for her, she'll bathe her, she'll shower her. My mom says she, like, for her, it's an honor for her to do that, because my mom has so much love for my grandma because of what my grandma's done and gone through, and, you know, so forth and so on. So my mom doesn't see it as a hindrance, right? She's like, you know, whatever. But, like, it's crazy because the youngest daughter, my mom's sister is the one who essentially does like all the medical appointments and make sure she's there and all everything, like make sure she has groceries.
She's
a
frontliner.
She's like, you know, essentially her caregiver. Yeah. And, you know, I tell my mom and stuff like that because, you know, at the end of the day, it's I've had these little dangling thoughts here and there because, you know, as you get older, these are just little random thoughts in your head. It's like, oh, you know, imagine being responsible for somebody day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out, you know, like for years, not just like months or days or weeks or whatever, right? But years, right?
Yeah.
And like, do you really ever feel a sense of relief once that person passes? Or do you stop and wish that you could do that again? And I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, like to like not do it all over again, but just be able to have that one day, even if you're doing the same shit that just used to stress you and annoy you, just to be in the physical presence of them, you know?
It's like a borderline Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Like, I'm not calling cancer patients or, you know, patients that you're taking care of like your abuser, but depending on who you have, depending on who you have and who that person is, it can give that. It can borderline be that. I feel like, and as someone who, I'm not at this moment, but at some point, you know, my grandmother wasn't a perfect person. You know, I've talked about it in therapy, and now that she's gone, you know, I may later on in a later episode talk about like some of the things that she did, you know, by way of her trauma, by way of her depression, by way of her anxiety and everything that she had growing up. She kind of, and not just me, like, you know, and again, I don't want to speak for them or tell their story, but other relatives who she kind of abused in a way. You know, and, you know, I learned through therapy that there's three different type of ways when you love your abuser. You protect them, you use them, and then you avoid them, but you never do anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the most.
Like you save them from a
practical way of defining it. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I love my abuser. I took care of my abuser. And I'm not saying that's all she was. I'm not I'm just, I'm a transparent, open book, and I probably shouldn't be.
But the thing is,
it's fucking real because it also fucking correlates to like my life now where, you know, like sometimes I'll do that with my man, and my fucking, you know, therapist has said like, bro, like you don't, she didn't say bro, but like, I'm just saying that, you know, I'm spitballing it here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just saying like, yo, like you need to not, you don't need to always fix other people's problems. People who fix other people's problems is because they want their problems to get fixed.
Yep. And then your therapist says, no cap.
Word to mommy. No,
but, right.
Yeah. Okay.
But speaking of capping.
Oh my God. We will.
Let's get some. How does Nikki say? It's so fucking annoying when she says it, but it's kind of cute because, you know, I mean.
Let's get into some things.
Let's get into some things.
Or that girl that's like, yeah, get into it.
That's funny. No, okay, but like, you know, that's the good thing about it is it's kind of like for me with Scott, right? Like, I love the memories that now I get to entertain myself with later on, you know. He's graduated now, you know, from life to afterlife, right? And you know, who knows what the other side, if there is an other side, if it's just a restart all over again kind of situation, you know, we don't know what the next,
you know, to cut you off, but I sometimes do hope like it's a you're reincarnated, but I want to be reincarnated as another human. Like, I want it for real. I don't want to be a girl, though, because I see what these girls are. But I do want to be I want another chance at a better life. I want a family that's rich. Shit, I'm going to just call it like it is. I want to be in a rich family. If I'm going to be in a dysfunctional, right. I want to be in a rich, dysfunctional family this time.
You want to be a Gwen Stefani and Eve song. If I was a rich girl.
So, for real, like, I want to do something different. I want to be a stripper. I don't know. I want to be a Cardi. No, never mind. I said I don't want to be a girl. But you know what I mean. I want to be a Ryan Reynolds. Or a fucking Brad Pitt or something. You know, I want a difference. I want to take a stab at a different life. So I hope it's reincarnation, but as another human being, you know?
Like, you know the
it'd
funny
be crazy,
story.
Like you die and then you open your eyes again and you're a baby and you completely erased everything. Like, why did they make a movie like that?
They have. It's like, it's there. So I told Zach the other day, actually a couple days ago, I was like, hey, you know what'd be funny? What happens if, remember in the Guardians 3, where that one guy who's the creator, I think that's what his name was or whatever. You know how, like, basically, like, he was trying to make a world of a perfection, like, so if any type of imperfections were starting to show, that he basically wiped out that whole entire earth and then started from scratch again. What happens if that's what life is about? Whoever is monitoring or whoever's in charge of us or whatever the case may be here, what happens if this is not the first and only time that life has been experiencing this technology, these moments of political aggression, or like all these things that we're, you know, we've been experiencing while alive? What happens if this isn't the first time that this world or earth has exhibited these responses, right? And like the person, whoever is, like I said, in charge or whatever, is just like hoping for a different outcome, but has to like start to wipe the slate away clean in order for us to start to shit all over again, but as different people and different variations or whatever, right? I always thought that'd be kind of crazy. But let's get into some things. Just joking, because I don't want to be like Jacko. this is gonna be our little thing. Now on to the real motherfucking matter.
You stupid. Who said that?
No, that's me. That's like onto the real motherfucking matter. You mentioned the tribe, and I, as much as everybody else who probably doesn't know what the hell happened, I would like to ask you on air, because maybe they do or maybe they don't or plan on listening, and I would like for there to be a response to, have they reached out to you in regards to your grandma passing? And let's just keep it real.
No, of course. We'll keep it funky. Funky, funky. Okay. Okay? Funky, you know, for your ass. Like Cam Newton says.
No, but like, I mean, you told me that, you know, there was...
Well, you know, I told you, right? We discussed it when it happened.
Yeah, there was a falling out of some sort. We're not going to get into, you know, but the matter was that if they really wanted to know what has been happening, they still had ample opportunity to, like, look at your Instagram, even if there was or wasn't a blocking involved. You know, like, there are things that could still get passed, like a letter or like a note in classroom. You know what I'm saying?
So, and go ahead.
I was going to say, and so, because I remember when we first talked and stuff like that, you know, about it, you know, I was like, well, maybe they'll reach out to you the following week and stuff like that. Maybe they've been preoccupied doing their own, their own shit, you know, and maybe they don't know. Excuse me. Oh my God. But now obviously I think we're what, week two now since the funeral. You know, how does that make you feel as somebody who possibly held the friendship on a higher pedestal?
Well, first things first, quoting Nikki, I know what y'all say about me. And number two, I don't give a fuck. I'm just kidding. No. So there was a reach out from one of my friends.
There wasn't a reach out. It was a...
It was a text. It was a touch base, right? I would call it a touch base or a check-in, maybe more so. But you know,
it was a remembrance that had nothing to do with you and all about him. Let's just keep it real.
Well, no, about what we shared. And listen, sometimes people don't know the right way to reach out or to just say, "Hey, like, I just want to let you know, even though like we're not where we used to be, I'm thinking about you and I care about you." But they do it to the best of their ability or to historically how they've always done it, right? They don't know. So for me, what I was looking for would have assured somebody a response is, "Hey, Ray, I heard about your grandmother. I'm so sorry. My condolences. I want to let you know that I'm here for you. If not, that's okay. But I just wanted to let you know I heard and I had to say something." That right there would have got you at least a fucking heart on the text. You know, or if they for sure wanted one, they would have been a condolences and a follow up. Like, I also want to take the responsibility of like what I did X, Y, and Z. So there's no accountability. And two, there's no like, I heard this and I can bet my life on it. They know because we have a lot of mutuals. One person in specific knows probably before the other two knew, the married couple. Mm-hmm. So there was no reach out. And I told myself, and I'm going to be very transparent here, I gave them until the end of the day of the burial for them to reach out, send flowers, what have you. to know that maybe that there's at some point there will be a reconnection or a rekindling or a conversation, whatever that looked like, right? Mm-hmm. For the future. But they didn't. So after that, they're dead to me. I told myself they will be dead to me. And I'm saying this on air. I've said this to you. I've said this mm-hmm. to other people. They are dead to me because you don't do that. You don't do that to the people you love or claimed that you loved or cared about. Like, I'm sorry. No, this is, you know, I've been struggling too because it was like, well, Ray, you know, other people have shit going on, this and that. But I gave them, like I've said it before on the last episode, I gave them ample opportunity. I gave them several chances to fix it. I gave them several conversations to take accountability and to fix these things. Two out of the three specifically. One, I told you the reason why I can't be friends is because he's tethered to his husband, obviously. So that's why, and I'm not going to put somebody in an uncomfortable situation where they have to pick and be awkward and we can only hang out if his husband's not around. I'm not doing that. So, yeah. And I would never put somebody in a predicament. So it's just better to cut ties with everybody. And then another thing is too, was that I came to the conclusion that, bro, like, it's hard fixing something with one person, but three people, I don't have enough energy. I don't have the bandwidth. I don't have the mental capacity. And I definitely don't have the energy. And I definitely don't have the time for that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because they're not worth it, because people are worth second chances, third, fourth, fifth, depending on the magnitude of what happened, right?
Yeah.
But I can't do it.
No, and I'll piggyback this by saying, when you and I talked about it and stuff, like, on various occasions through the course of y'all's friendship, I've tried to give leeway in certain situations because, again, you know, when somebody doesn't know, they don't know how to correct, right? Or if somebody doesn't know how you react or respond, they don't know how to move forward without having to, I don't know, create that uncomfortable response or reaction from you, right? Again, there are ways to going about communications. Now, I'm going to sit there and say this on air, so that way if for some reason one, two, or three hears, I'm going to sit there and say this, to be honest with you. I knew y'all weren't going to last. Like, I'm just going to sit there and say, as friendships, because there were certain things that you were saying that each one of them, whether they could sit there and say, oh, well, Ray had a problem doing this, or Ray did this, and blah, blah, blah. We're all grown men, and none of those three individuals, from my understanding of y'all's friendship, knew how to fucking communicate. Then you had a bitch. They didn't know how to respond. And they don't know how to necessarily do it in a way that's adult. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong.
Wait, you said you had a bitch? I'm not going to ask who that bitch
no,
is.
No, No. I said they didn't know how to
communicate. Oh, they knew how to bitch. Oh,
yes, okay. They knew how to bitch.
Oh, the whole bitch.
No. Yeah. No. That's the thing about it, though, is same. I'm 33 years old. You and I have been friends for 14 years. I was first, you know, befriending you at 19. I'm now 33. I've gone through almost two different digits with you. You see what I'm saying? I've gone through my 20s. Now I'm in my 30s with you. So I know that you're not easily you're not the most easy person to communicate with at times. Sometimes sometimes you're not the greatest listener when you're reacting. You see what I'm saying? But I've learned to sit there and say, in some form, way, or manner, some shape, form, way, or another, to sit there and say, Ray, I didn't like how you did that shit. It bothers me. Because how many times have I sat there and told you throughout the 14 years, Ray, you know what? To be honest with you, I didn't like how you said that when I was talking to you about, like, my vulnerability with my ex, Daniel, blah, 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 and you're over here, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might have brushed it off or, like, you know, done what you had done in the past and stuff, but we were at least able to create a dialogue, even if it was uncomfortable. I'm a firm believer.
Yeah. Or even if we fought and didn't talk.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer that, you know, everything has to be uncomfortable for it to be comfortable.
Yep.
Now, and I also told you, I'm going to keep it real with you. Those three, from the smallest to the biggest, they only sounded like friends who wanted other friends to escape their problems with. And if you started bringing real life shit to their doorstep, they reacted in a runaway manner. They weren't necessarily the greatest adults at conveying what they really wanted when it came to friendship. Now, I'm going to say it again.
I would say maybe two out of the three.
The smallest one,
oh my God,
had an issue with being able to sit there and communicate the most basics, at least from my understanding, with you. Like, that's this is where I don't like about gay men, is that...
The thing is that you also have to understand, too. I'm, like you said, I'm not the easy... And I'm not defending anybody. I'm just keeping it a stack here, right?
Yeah.
I'm not the easiest person to come to. Like, I don't like confrontation, but like UPS, I will bring it to your front door. I am not afraid of it. I don't shy away from it. It is my second nature, first nature, but I now have made it my second nature for it to come easy to me because I don't want that. So I, especially with us living together, it was hard, but we did the best that we could. It wasn't that. And you also have to understand, he was also counseling me and going through a lot of different stresses and emotions of like my toxic relationships where I was leaning on him a lot, going to him for counseling instead of my actual counselor, my therapist, right? So he kind of got tired. But when we put that separation, we moved out, our friendship did get better. But what happened was, is that now that time had gone on, I was starting to learn my place in his life. Our relationship was changing, but it was changing for distance and not for the better. And it, long-term, it may be better because it's like, okay, you didn't need that type of friend. And he could say the same thing about me, right? I don't
need
a friend in my life, you know, whatever. But the truth of the matter is that that's where it started to go awry. South? Like the south, yeah. So it's like we just weren't communicating as much. We needed a break from each other, and distance started to play a factor in it. And then I started to notice what kind of friend he truly was from a distance after all that drama that ensued, that we went through, that he felt like he went through with me, the ups and downs, because he's a peaceful person. He's very, and for lack of a better word, there's probably a word, but I just can't think of it right now because I'm fucking lazy. He lives the mundane. He lives the basic life as far as like emotions go, you know? So I can't fault somebody nor crucify them or judge them for them wanting to just live their life and be drama free. You know what I mean? So that's where it was like, but to go back to like him confronting me or saying this, oh, Ray, you got me fucked up. You got this, you got that. He's done it before. Sometimes I would have to draw it out of him, or sometimes would have to go by because that's just in his personality to bring something up. That's okay. But the thing is that like, I need friends where one, I can be my true self. Two, there's a lot of accountability. Three, there's no underhanded jabs where they're saying, oh, this and that, talking about someone's outfit, someone's car, you know, blah, blah. We all do it. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. But when it's within the circle, the inner circle, and we're doing it and it's right in front of you, it doesn't come off as shade. It comes off as daggers. It comes off as low blows. It comes off as like, you're really judging me. Everybody spills tea and judges people and has something to say and is judgmental. I'm the first person to admit it. Bitch, I can't hold water. I can't hold fucking. So when I know something and I know something and I have a person closest to me, you know, I tell you, or I'll tell my significant other or my best friend or my sister. Those are the four people in rotation that I will tell mostly everything. That's just how it is. You know what I mean?
Let me put a pin. Okay. Because Ray gonna save y'all. I'm not.
Oh my God.
I'm just joking. I mean, could you imagine if I was like, back door? No, I'm just joking. No, I will sit there and say this. From the little one to the big one.
You're gonna put so much emphasis on this.
No, it's just that they were great to go do fun activities with and plan all that other shit.
Hell yeah, yeah.
But they were lazy when it came to actually coming to the doorstep and saying, hey, Ray, you know what? There is turmoil in this relationship and I don't like it. Let's fix this. Or you know what? Do me a favor. You have a good life and I have a good life, but I can't do this shit no more. And that's the thing about that I told with Zach, is that there are a lot of people won't sit there and tell you because somehow that means that they have to admit that they're also part of the problem, is that a lot of men, as they get older, get lazy. And I know that sounds like, I can't believe it.
Because I need to interject here because I just literally this came up in conversation. So the reason why this came up in conversation is, again, I'm going to keep it a stack, which I'm going to keep it 100. I'm going to keep it funky, right? I learned a lot about the people who really love and care for me when it came down to my grandmother and her burial. You know, there was one lifelong friend who actually showed up. Who I maybe once a month, maybe even once a quarter, who I check up, and she went both to the rosary and the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there showed me. And it's not because like, oh, you know what? Like I'm on the outs with everybody. You know, I don't fuck with nobody. So you my real ride or die. It wasn't even that. But because when words failed, actions mm-hmm. prevailed. And that's another thing that I've said in my grandmother's, her eulogy. I gave a small eulogy. Usually I give like this big old one, but this time, nope. I just spoke from the heart and I just left it there. I said it in the eulogy. I was like, my grandmother was not an emotional person. She was not somebody who told you she loved you. I couldn't even recall the last time I told her I loved her. But I said, but I realized after she was gone why she never said I loved you, because she would always mm-hmm. show me why she loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's now why more than ever my life is really starting to begin, because now I realize what love is. There's not a price on someone's presence. It is invaluable. You need people to physically show up for you.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that now because one, the boys always had an issue with you because you would never show up. You would always make every single excuses. So we're calling out one thing, we're going to call out another. And that's there. But that's where I'm learning emotional support and physical support. But mm-hmm. what I need is a middle ground of both. Going forward, that's what I need, is people who show up emotionally and physically. They showed up physically. They didn't show up emotionally. You didn't show up physically, but you showed up emotionally. So that's why I always had this tug of war, this constant battle in my mind or inside, where mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know who's really my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I really, there was a constant, and at the time, you know, I was telling Chris too, you know, I don't know. Him included too. Him included as well. Like, I'm giving it a stack and funky with everybody. Like, him too. Like,
yeah.
So many people are like, oh, those are not your friends. But they're actually there. They were always physically there. They were always physically there. So that's why I'm saying, like, one can't judge the other, because
I can't.
One did what the other. No, you.
No.
You can for a little bit, Joe, but like.
No. What I'm saying is that the only reason why I'm saying that I can is because, again, you and I have built a friendship and a relationship from afar. We've always had that. It's the distance has always been placed between us, like in the physical sense, right?
Yeah.
So the thing about it, though, is we made the distance work for us.
Yeah.
So for me, I see it this way. Not a lot of people have that bandwidth to make that work, because for them, seeing in front of them is believing that that friendship exists. So that's
it, can,
again,
and it could be a blindfold.
Yeah.
It really can. Cause you can really think, oh, these people here, they go out to drink with me. We go to the movies. We have all these memories. We take all these pictures, and you really think they're your friends. And I'm not speaking specifically to the tribe. I'm speaking just in general, as a whole, as a population, as a world, universally. I keep on specifying, but seriously, you really can have a blindfold on. Just like you can be blinded by love, you can be blinded by friendship.
Yeah.
You can 1000% be blinded by friendship.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why, like I said, when I remember when we had a falling out and I found out, trust me, let me let you know, smallest to biggest, I heard the conversation. I'm just saying. But the only reason why I'm saying that, it's not because, like, I'm laughing, because in my mind, I knew where my place was always going to be at. If for some reason some shit actually went down and you needed a physical friend, it wouldn't have been a problem. It would have been probably a pain in the ass to get to where you, because again, I don't know where you live. They knew where you lived at. You know what I'm saying? So like to sit there and find the coordinates, you know, I'd have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, but if push came to shove, I would do it. See, I don't necessarily need to go build out of the country memories with you in order for me to sit there and say we're true friends. The difference for me is I don't necessarily think of friendship as, oh, we kiki together. We sit there and take fabulous photos together. We do faggery shit together. Like, that's not how I equate friendship. Mine is like, if you can call me in the middle of the night and I'll pick up. If you want to sit there and talk for hours on end, I'm going to listen. Or we're going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, the shit that you and I have done, that's what I classify as friendship. And that's why I laughed from afar, because the reality was like, you know, that's cool that y'all got y'all's passports ready to go and y'all are in TSA ready to get the, you know, go through the the security checkpoint. That's fantastic, bitch. But at the end of the day, you might sit there and think that you have one above me, but bitch, you're always going to be the back seat. Because
it wasn't a competition, but okay.
No. But I'm saying is,
but
like,
I get it too, because I kind of felt like that with Brent. Remember the whole proposal thing too?
Yeah,
I felt like that. I did. Yeah, so I get it. I know what you mean. I grew up from that.
But the reality is, though, is again, even with, like I said, the whole Brent situation and stuff, it's, I'm never going to sit there and have somebody who hasn't had the same amount of time, because I'm gonna keep it real with you. I'm when somebody has like longevity, right? I'm a longevity bitch. If you've been in my life for 10 years, you think I'm gonna sit there and replace you with somebody who's been here for 2 years? No. Yeah. Like for me, I look at, all right, cool. Ray has seen me through teen years to my 20s to now my 30s. He's heard every mishap in the book between relationships, between health, between living arrangements, between all that shit. And I look at that like, what's more important, that Ray and I went to PV, or that Ray and I had conversations about family members passing and how that made him feel? You see what I'm saying? Now yeah, we actually, and again, not that I necessarily needed this arsenal in my belt, but now we have gone through loss of family. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know what I'm saying? But that's the real testimony, is because like, I know what it feels like to have that person not in your life anymore, right? Because yeah. Now you have to deal with I was gonna say repercussions, but that's not the right word. The aftermath, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And again, regardless of whatever, again, if you really wanted to ask somebody how they're doing, you would just say, hey, we haven't spoken in a while for whatever reason. Don't even gotta specify it. Hey, thinking about you, miss you, hope all is well. By the way, how is your grandma? Because I know that that was really important for you the last time that I saw you or spoke to you or any of that. And regardless of what we went through, like you and I have spoken about it. Even if you and I sat there and said, fuck you, bitch, click, never speak to me again in 6 months. If I found out,
We've always found our way back to each other. So that was that's always been a thing too.
If we found a way to sit there and find out what happened, you know what I'm saying? I'd be like, I would sit there and send you a message. Now, whether you block my number and you ever got it, that's on you, right? But I could sit there and say, hey, you know what? I tried my best to reach out and say, hey, my condolences. And that's all you got to do. You know what I'm saying? But I think a lot of people feel like, well, we're not fucking with each other. So his problems. You know what I'm saying? And... you know,
that's an issue too. Cause I'm like, well, bro, we've never really fucked with each other. If you can't even put the bullshit that we have aside and at least pay your condolences or respect. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, how many bullshit have we gone through?
Exactly. And if I heard something about your mother, God forbid, or your grandmother, I'm gonna be like, I don't give a fuck if, like, bro, he didn't do nothing bad enough for me to, like, not tell him, I'm so sorry, I love you, I'm here for you if you need me. If not, that's okay too. That's it.
Oh, shit. I was going to say, speaking about this on a very, very small... Remember back when in 2018 when you and I didn't like really talk to each other for a couple of months? I forgot. I remember I was in Amsterdam. I forgot how that conversation, because Facebook, fuck you, deleted my account. But remember, we ended up reaching out to each other. It was a whole year later, remember? And we kind of like picked back up. You know what I'm saying? It sucks and stuff. But like, I mean, there has been. I mean, shit, bitch, we haven't talked a whole year, but I didn't... There's
okay. Hold on, before we move forward, I need to clarify. I don't reach out to nobody. You reach out to me. Just kidding. No, I'm fucking with you.
No. Yeah, we did. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's when you were fucking with what's his face from rugby.
Yeah, yeah. No, please don't. R.I.P. Let me check it. I mean, like I said, it's. For me, like I told you, and again, I actually seen a real friendship, I'd have been like, y'all are gonna come back to each other. I call it like I see it. You know what I'm saying? And it's not, again, I hope to be wrong. Where do I benefit from being right in that sense? You know what I'm saying? Because again, there's still the distance between you and I. The physicality, I mean, of course it can change and stuff. Now we could possibly look into certain stuff, but you know, you and I mean, just being on air, you know what? If you decide to come back and visit Memphis, just realize that we're probably going to be very, very fucking boring. We're probably going to be in the house. Like, I don't necessarily need to be out in the streets to have fun. You know what I'm saying? But
can confirm they were pretty fucking boring. No, the time that we went to go see Memphis. Candyman was in a tank and he was sweating and he was like, I want to go home. It's hot.
I do not like that.
But it was fucking hot when I went. That was yeah. I was sweating. I was like, no. Zach was the only person not sweating. I was like, boy, no. There's no fucking way.
I'm not going to lie to you. Super side note. When I see you fat motherfuckers out there and y'all aren't sweating and I'm sweating, I feel like I hate you even more.
You stupid. For real.
Like, have you ever seen... No, for real. Like, when have you ever seen... Like, you're a bit of, like, hot and uncomfortable and then you look at a fat bitch across the way and they're, like, cool, calm, and collective. I'm like, fuck, man. Like, they, it's true what they say. Pigs are, you know, pigs don't sweat.
You fucking stupid.
No, but anyways, moving on.
Moving on. So, what I wanted to talk about. So, I haven't been in therapy in a while, but there were... now that I've checked off doing the whole telling my grandmother I loved her, and she said it back, you know, now there's things that I want to continue to check off. And the other one was... my masculine and feminine energy as a gay man, right? So a lot of my icons, I'm not going to say a lot, most of my icons, probably pretty much all of my icons are female. So I was raised by a female. I had only sisters. I do have one brother, but we were raised like together, but not really, you know? So I really don't have that masculine energy. So my therapist gave me some homework to do a while back, to where I need to meet with some of the icons in my life who I consider icons or I look up to, right? Which is my stepdad and my dad and maybe even my cousins, right? Like hetero energy, if even, right? Mm-hmm. Because I have hetero women energy. And that's something that I've really been struggling with, trying to grow and evolve and be more open-minded. Specifically, I'm not going to say... So, I'm going to give an example. We talked about it before we got on this phone. So old Ray has really evolved, where we talked about, you asked me the other day, hey, Ray, would you consider flirting cheating? Old Ray, like I want to say about 5 years ago, he would have been like, oh, fuck yeah. The fuck do you need to talk to my man for? Like, you don't even be liking pictures. You don't even be following. Unless y'all know each other. That's your daddy. That's your cousin. That's your brother. Why are you hitting a like? I wasn't that bad, but to some degree I was, right? Where it was very black and white, because I wasn't really tapping into my masculine energy, where it's like, I can do it, but they can't. And when I say that, it's not a controlling thing, even though my boyfriend will tell you different. It's not that I want to control the situation. It's because of my intentions. That's another thing that I'm working on, is that just because I have the intentions for you doesn't mean that my intentions are better than yours. But because I knew my intentions, that's why I was like, oh, no, you can't do it. Like, it looks funny. It looks suspicious. But I can do it because I know what I'm doing and I know my intentions, right? I'm inside my head. So that's another thing that I'm struggling with now. Now, for example, like I said, let me go back to the whole cheating. The flirting is cheating. I don't think flirting is cheating. I think flirting is cheating when you have to hide it from your partner. That's how I see it. Other than that, bro, if you want to have a conversation, how you doing? Oh, bro, that however it is that you put it, you phrase it. That jacket looks nice on you. Nice fade. Nice tat. Oh, you look like you're having a good time. You're smiling. I don't know, something like that.
Right, nice hole.
Bitch, I will fuck you up. Oh, shit. Oh, I teleported back to my past. I was like, bitch, I was ready. I was on go. But
you said,
no, you said, so.
No, man.
Yeah, no. So, you know, like, I feel like if you have to hide it from your partner, it's cheating. It's borderline cheating. No, it is cheating. It's not borderline. Or it's on its way to it, right? Because then there's the whole quote of like, people think that cheating is like, what is it? Oh, you meet someone and then you hit it off and you start talking. No, cheating starts with a like. Cheating starts with a heart on your story. Cheating starts with a conversation. Like, and it's mostly on social media now. Like, people think physically cheat anymore. They exchange pictures, they exchange videos, and then that's how it's done. That's how people are getting the rocks off now. Like, from my experience, from what I've seen, from what I've heard, from what my friends have gone through, that's really what it comes down to. So that aspect of it scares me. That's the part where I'm struggling with my masculine feminine energy. And let me tell you why. Because feminine would be like my feminine traditional energy, where it's like, no, you wouldn't be in this situation had you not been in this situation. Mm-hmm. So you want to make me look like a fool. You want to disrespect me. It's the disrespect part for me where I am really still high on, but at the same time, I tap into my masculine energy where it's like, and I'm just going to say this, Gio, please do not elaborate. I'm going to control the narrative and the conversation on this. I don't want to go further. So if someone had a Twitter and they're doing X, Y, and Z, like just using it for Spank Bank, right? Jacking off. Mm-hmm. I have had one. I've subscribed to OnlyFans, you know, but his looks a little more different than mine, right? And we're talking about something way in the past. That's why I'm telling Gio to like not, yeah, whatever. So I just want to tell everybody because I don't want anybody thinking like something else. But anyways, so, you know, I just feel like that would come into question for me because it's like I don't know their intentions and their followers look like 28 from Dallas, Texas, verse top, very discreet, in a monogamous relationship, blah, blah, blah. And there's a lot of those, right? So it can look a little like whatever, but they could be sharing or liking or have pictures of their dick or whatever. I'm like, and my person also lives in Dallas, right? And I could be like, or Houston, what have you, right? It can look suspicious to me. It looks a little weird to me. Whereas I'm tapping into my masculine energy. I'm like, it's not that fucking deep. The internet is not real. I'm literally going down like a timeline of how I think. So it's not that deep. The internet is real. But the internet is real because that's how we met. Mm-hmm. So what are you talking about, Ray? So it's like the devil and the angel. You know what I mean? Like we're literally fighting with each other. So it's like, I know who I am. I love who I am. I love the mistakes that I make. I like how I think. And I like this because it gives me a good perspective, even though people think that, oh, no, Ray is more so in his feminine energy versus his masculine. No, I struggle with it, especially now. I really do because I want to see the other side of things because I know we're all fucking human and I know we all fucking get horny and I know we all think about other motherfuckers and we like to jack off to it and we like to look at other people's shit. And sometimes when we're at the gym, we're looking at them and they're fucking their sweatpants because it's sweatpants season and oh, he got a big dick and you're thinking about it. It's no different from putting it on. I get that. I fucking get that. But again, it's about how you move, actions,
intent?
What you're doing. Yes, because you could have a motherfucking Twitter and just lurk. You don't need to follow nobody. You can have a, but then some people are like, that's fucking lazy. I got to remember so-and-so who had the good porn or the big bear's booty hose or whatever the fuck it's called like on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like that I follow, that I could just hit a follow on because I have this this Finsta, this Twitter, this spam account that looks like a spam account, right? Where I just like use it for Spank Bank. Like whatever. Yeah. So it's like, it's easier for me just to pop open Twitter and be like, oh, look, my favorite Twitter handle that I follow, my ex, whatever it's called, ex handle that I follow, like has a really good 4 minute, you know, peeing porn on the butthole. And I'm going to just jack off to that. I'm not into the, I'm thinking about one day exploring it. But anyways, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I struggle so much when it comes to my masculine and feminine energy, when it comes to that, because like I've told you before, the people that I fuck with, it's not, oh, I'm going to get left for somebody else. It's they're transactional and I'll never know about it because I don't think my man going to leave me for so-and-so for Big Dick Henry from McAllen, Big Dick Henry with all the tats and the neck tats from McAllen, Texas, who's 31. You know what I mean? Like I don't feel like, I mean, bro, if that's what you want, then that's what you want. It's not an insecurity on me. It's a respect thing for me. I don't give a fuck what the person looks like. I give a fuck how you're moving. I give a fuck how you move because how you move tells me how you're going to move in this relationship, how you're going to move with my beliefs, how you're going to move with my emotions, how you're going to move with me as a person. So that's what it really comes down to. So that's where I'm struggling with my masculine feminine energy, where with you, because you have a more, and you know, I'm not calling what y'all have open, but it's more open-esque, open-ish. It allows for you guys to do whatever the fuck you want, because at the end of the day, you is not going to be worried if Zach is following, unfollowing Big Dick Henry. Or if they're having conversations, you don't give a fuck about that because that doesn't move you, even though the internet pays you. But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't give a fuck. But then if like something does happen and it's like, well, you should have investing in it. But then it's like, no, why was I going to be bothered by that? Like, it's just, it's hard. Like, it's such a struggle because I'm the type of person that, like I've told you earlier, I'm always five steps ahead because I need to be prepared. But that's my control. That's where my, that's the real control. I'm not controlling, but I like to control me and how, what happens to me, not other people, but what happens to me. And if people happen to be tethered to that, then I can see how you can see that I'm trying to be controlling, but I will never tell my man, oh, you can't go out. You're going out too much. You're doing this, you're doing that. But if I do happen to do it, it's because bro, like, you spend a little bit too much money, or, hey, you know, this is coming up. Or, hey, you know, I'm noticing this. Are you going through a pocket of depression or something? That I will address or clock you on. That I will. Because mental health is very important. But so if that's controlling, then that's controlling. But I'm not trying to be controlling. But anyways, so yeah, that's what I, where I'm struggling with my masculine and feminine energy. Where
I'll say this.
Yeah.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
Oh God, so your ADHD is kicking in here. Like,
no, I had to give him a little, I had to do my little echo thing. No, but I will tell you this a lot. And it's funny that you say that, what you're saying, because I just watched an episode of Home Improvement with Tim Allen.
No.
But it's the 90s sitcom, right? In regard, and there was an episode where Jill, Tim's wife in the show, she has a male friend who's in her book club, and he feels threatened by him because, you know, he is of the firm belief that men can't have female friends. I'm sorry, that females can't have male friends. They can't have, you know, because especially if they're straight, right? They can't have straight other opposite sex friends because they feel like that boundary will cross, or somehow the man or the woman will fall in temptation. This is the stock that I feel like a lot of people put into where things cannot actually go with another individual. And a lot of it, of course, stems from insecurity, right? Because if someone was watching the episode of, you know, Home Improvement in the 2023 time period versus when this was shot in the 90s, the first question is, well, why does it bother you so much, right?
Yeah.
If you take so much pride in knowing that you're secure in your relationship with another, like if she was involved in with a female friend, right? Like, you don't see a threat there. Why does it automatically have to be threatening when you see somebody that of the same orientation as you and her as a threat? You see what I'm saying? So. Yeah. I think a lot of people put a lot of stock in the capability of people. Now, you and I, of course, being friends and stuff like that, and having a love and fascination of horror movies, it's like, remember The Dream Master, right? The Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Master, where Kirsten wakes up and she's like fucking putting this energy out.
Kirsten, I'm giving my power.
You know, she's putting the energy out there, and what is the... One of the male companions of her that survived from the last sequel tell her, don't you think that, you know, you keep conjuring up this thought of Freddy being free and alive still, like you're gonna manifest it. And, you know, and she was the, if she probably would have done a better job to suppress her thoughts, maybe he wouldn't have come back for the sequel. But it's a movie, right? So of course he had to come back. But I think a lot of, like I said, a lot of people put so much stock in social media because that's the number one source of communication. Like you said, a lot of people
use it. And that's where most people meet now.
Yeah, a lot of people use it and a lot of people abuse it. But I think that you just have to communicate with the other individual prior or during your relationship and say, hey, you know what? I have a level of insecurity with X, Y, and Z. So I know it might be laughable to you, but I'm telling you a vulnerable part of me. So, you know, you can tell in the privacy of your own home. Nobody has to sit there and be listening, but you have to convey that in a conversation for them to remember. Now, if they choose to go about, you know, continuing, disrespecting you in the sense of, like, after you found out that this makes you insecure and they're just like, well, I don't see it's a big deal, you should fucking get over it, then obviously at that point
it's not like I'm physically touching them, because some men, most men, and that's another part of the masculine energy that I don't think that I'm ever going to be able to tap in, is like, well, I didn't physically touch her or him. Like, get the fuck out of here. I'll physically touch you and him.
No, but you know, but you know what's crazy, and again, in full transparency and vulnerability, is that, like, Zach and I just celebrated 5 years, right? And again, year one to year five, complete polar opposites in regards to how I react and respond and kind of just perceive certain things, right? Like, I could go through Zach's phone right now, and I'm pretty sure there's messages of somebody, of something, of flirting or whatever. But you know what I don't feel? I don't feel insecure and or threatened by those individuals. Why?
But because that's not insecurity, Gio. That's a so for you, right? That's what I'm saying.
Like, no. I'm just saying this is for me.
For you. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not talking
about. But I guess I got like a little riled up because you're like, I'm not insecure. But
no, it's not because insecurity, I used. Though. No, but because I used to be insecure. Remember, I told you in the
year one. You're just not bothered by the fact that he does that, I think would be a better phrase.
No.
Because of y'all's boundaries that's been laid out.
No, I'm going to tell you what it really truly is. And this is the thing that I think that hearing my mom say in certain conversations in a relationship that she, with men in whom she was in a relationship with, I used to always think that my mom was blowing smoke up her ass, like other people's ass and stuff, when she just says, you're never going to find somebody who does, you know, who does this or puts up with this and blah, 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 right? And the reality is, she was always right, because even when they left, or she left them, or whatever the case may be, or they parted ways, they always came back, because they tried to go on the opposite end of the street, see what's there. They realize it's not worth it, or it's not what they thought, and then guess what they do? They come back. I'm not saying that somehow, you know, you're going to sit there and dangle a toxic relationship over somebody and say, you're always going to come back because you don't know how to escape it. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's what I'm saying is being able to be with Zach for 5 years after year one, I just realized that I wish I could go back and tell year one, you're worrying about this, but trust me, you're going to have nothing to worry about. And you're going to laugh about this because it passes. Yeah. A lot of these things that we have passes. But I think that the number one thing that worked for us is that we always communicated when things bothered. Even if Zach wasn't the greatest, Zach's never been the greatest at telling me what's going on with him, right? I have to pull it out of him. But you know what I've noticed is that we have our little squawks, our little tidbits, Scrabbles. our little arguments here and there and stuff. But each
I laugh. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Go ahead. Because there's nothing little about you, not even your arguments. You got me fucked up, Ray. No, just kidding.
No, I'm going to tell you. But you know what, though? I laugh because even though in the midst of the moment of us feeling agitation or aggravation towards one another, if somebody knocked on the door right now and said, hi, I'm your replacement, I'd close that motherfucking door and be like, all right. Actually, I'd let them in. I'd go to the gym and I'd be like, I'd come back and be like, oh, so can you handle this? All right, great. You know what I'm saying? Because the reality is that we're very complex creatures. And just because you're sexually attracted to somebody isn't going to sit there and maintain a household. You see what I'm saying? Like, there are certain things that you might think because they're new are going to be like, oh my God, yeah, you know, this guy over here likes to go to the gym. I need somebody who motivates me. This guy doesn't motivate me. We're going to sit there. Okay, cool. You know what you're doing? You're substituting a desire for essentially an inevitable. So if I sit there and leave Zach for somebody who likes to go to the gym and play rugby and keep in shape or whatever, and is my motivation, and yeah, we're looking fucking sexy. But what happens if now I have inherited a person who doesn't know how to financially be responsible, who is in debt, who has an apartment with three other people and it's a two bedroom?
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Nothing wrong with roommates, but it's just
No. No, it's not for me. But what I'm saying is that, like, I ultimately, for me as a person, I need somebody who is a little bit higher on the food chain, like in the financial sense, like in the job market. I need somebody like that because that motivates me. I don't want to stay stagnant with somebody.
Because I feel like too, like most men, right? Like, I'm going to say the men that I've dealt with or deal with, whatever, they're like, Ray, like they're ran through. Like, why would I want somebody that's ran through when I could have somebody like you? So that's what it's giving. No. But I said that about myself. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. No. That was real gay. But anyways, no. I mean, like, that's another way of saying it. Like with Zach, like, I don't love these hoes. I love you. That's what I'm saying.
But you know what, though? And again, and it's also one I want to sit there also and convey this. Is it right to sit there and say and, like, imagine a life with somebody else and say, I'm going to, Yeah, it's not necessarily right, but is it healthy? Yeah, because a lot of people do it. The reality is that we also do need to be humbled by, okay, cool, you think that that person who sits there and messages you every single day, like, hey, handsome, hey, sexy, hey, gorgeous, whatever the fuck they call you, you think that, okay, cool, like, just because they're, again, distance will sit there and tell you, like, the length of time that y'all are going to have together, right? Like, you and I have been distant for 14 years. You know what I'm saying? We've only met each other twice. Now, think about if you and I were, like, after the goody-goodies. You know what I'm saying?
We didn't meet three times, didn't we?
Nope. The first time was in 2017 after Daniel and I broke up in Austin when I was there for tubing. And then the second time was in 2021 when we first had the house here. We went to go see Candyman. Look at me, bitch.
And then I went to see you in Dallas, fool, for The Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, damn. I forgot. Oh, I fucking hate that movie. I forgot about that.
You actually fell asleep with that movie?
I did. I was like,
you started snoring. I was like, this motherfucker. I was like, what the fuck is that? I thought it was the boat on The Little Mermaid. I was like, this motherfucking Geo, bro.
He thought it was Sebastian.
Stupid, bro.
No, but, oh, damn. It's been three times. Look at that. no, but, again, like I said, Zach, I've, you know how many times I've replaced this motherfucker in my head?
No, bro, I'm not saying that you can't have those or those actual just thoughts that come up, or like, hey, I just met somebody really nice today, and we really vibed, and I wonder what my life would be about. You know, I get it. We're all human, but again, it's how you move. It's not about your thoughts and ideas, right? Yeah. Because are actions.
But it's kind of like, again, me being a film lover, I always go back to film because film for me are ideas and responses and consequences, right? They're actions and reactions for me. Now, again, are all of them true? Absolutely not, because it's not like fucking Freddy Krueger's popping down to people, you know, and killing them, right? That's not reality. But the response and reaction to a relationship, there are similarities in them. You see what I'm saying? Where do you think people get these ideas from to create these films? Obviously from real life experiences. So I'm not going to risk my relationship for a fling. Yeah. Now, if Zach and I have run its course and we have, amicably, you know, gone our separate ways, and I meet somebody, boom, you know, that at that point, the slate's clean, right? But I'm not having to worry about leaving him mid-relationship to go find out. And I think that that's where a lot of people, because of social media, will sit there and see what other people allow them to see. Because again, when you take those sexy photos and stuff, do you think that people ever think about taking that exact same photo in the dirty laundry room that has all the clothes everywhere? Absolutely not. Do you think they're going to sit there and when they post an ass shot, do you sit there and think that they're going to sit there and take that photo with toilet paper in their ass? Absolutely not. I'm just saying everybody cleans up an image to make it look more appeasing, because the reality is we are not going to be attracted to trash, like to slop, to mess.
A normal person shouldn't.
No, but I'm just saying, do you think that somebody who's driving that that BMW or that Lexus is going to sit there and also have a screenshot of their negative account balance? No,
yeah.
But but imagine, like I said, I mean, again, everybody has to find out what works for them in a relationship. Again, what works for me isn't going to work for you, and works for you isn't going to work for me. Yeah. I just know that the number one thing, the number one fixer upper, and the other one, the other destroyer, is communication. Communication can fix you, and lack of communication can destroy you. So you have to sit there and think about at least the commonality of a success and a failure in a relationship is communication. So if you're communicating, you shouldn't have a problem. But it's not a guarantee that you won't have problems. Because again, when you solve one thing, you move on to another.
We would like to think that.
I mean, it's the truth. I mean, again, I'm sorry. Let me not make it everybody's truth. It is a percentage of people's truths. Yeah. The thing about it, though, is, okay, great. So if you have a relationship that struggles in the communication department, but the affection department is booming. Y'all are out there just lovey-dovey, but it's the communication when shit starts to, you know, really hit the fan that is a problem, right? All right, yeah. Cool. So now, because of that, you may now start to, I don't know, maybe find that person less attractive at moments, because now that person is bearing their fucking soul to you, and now there's a therapy session involved in your relationship. So now the affection starts to, you know what I'm saying? Like, again, yeah. In order to give, you have to take. In order to take, you have to give. Relationship is constant work, and that's the part that I don't think a lot of people take into account what they're gonna have to bring to a relationship that's gonna have to be worked on, you know.
No, I definitely feel like we should all strengthen our communication, me included. We really should, you know, because my thing is not so much communicating. It's I equate too much communication or overly communicating as complaining. Like, hey, I don't like this. I notice this. Because you, mom will give you a laundry list of things I don't like about your ass and how, what you doing. If you give me a fucking roadmap, bro, I will map that shit out. I don't like this. Map I don't like ass. This. I don't like this. I don't want to go here. We can't do this. We need to be here by this time. I will definitely do that. So that's another thing too, where I'm having to learn to pick and choose my battles. Is not learning like I have, but I think once I'm able to find a good balance between my masculine and feminine energy, like I'm gonna be pretty on point. I'm gonna be pretty sharp about it, you know.
So. But you know what, though, you also have to take into consideration what you prevail in. Not everybody else will follow in prevailing. Yeah. So if you sit there and you mask, look at me, mask. If you sit there and you get a hold of your masculine and energy and your feminine energy, and you're like, boom, the best way possible. That'll mean that the person that you meet, the James, the Dontrell, the Kevins, the Miguel's, the Pings,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't necessarily, they're not going to always bring the best part of them to bring the best, to be the best version of you with them all the time. So yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to just, people are flawed. And I think that as long as
social media is around, we're going to be, exactly. The flaws are going to get more and more deep, yeah. and higher and higher. Like, it's just what it is. Cause it's so easy. Cause before, like, you couldn't just lean on someone else or go find something better or start a whole life. People can literally have one life today and start a whole new life tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you can literally do that now because of social media.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh,
you know what? You don't want to be with me, or you know what? Fuck this, fuck that. I have someone waiting. And the fucking wings, who's been waiting for an opportunity, I'm gonna go be with them and live in Miami now.
You know, and that's you know what I tell them, like, in arguments that Zach and I have had, I'm like, and go ahead, and if you need to find somebody who does it better than me, or sorry, does it the exact same way that I do, but does it
all facts.
No, I tell them, I'm like, if you can find somebody who cooks, I'm sorry, who cleans and does all the shit that I do, but doesn't nag you or, you know, and is okay with all this other shit,
don't do,
find. Yeah. Find my motherfucking replacement. But you know, no, what, bro, I bring?
Yes.
You know what I bring? I bring the sense of reality, because, like, I tell him, and, like, again, and I'm not going to sit there and make it seem like somehow I don't need him, right? That he needs me. No, we need each other. Because I bring the sense of reality to him, and he brings the stability to me. Yeah. So, like, he is, when he walks out them doors, and he walks out those doors and he's ready to do business, He can do business all he wants, because when he comes home, this entire ship is going to be afloat. It's never going to sink. Everything that he needs in order to go make those money moves and business moves, I'm going to have prepared for him every single time it's time for him to walk out that door. And that's what I tell him. I make sure everything that you need, without cooking, obviously, is here and present yeah. for you. You know, like, it's not my thing, but again, you have to give and take situations.
Not my thing either. Not my niche, yeah. Okay? Don't ask me to cook a motherfucking thing, but I can order something real good and pay for it real good.
But you know, I'll go to the grocery store, I'll make sure they have all the groceries, I'll have everything that we need.
Yeah, and I'll clean up as you go, I'll clean up afterwards. Like, yeah, I can clean you. I mean, I can clean the kitchen, like, I can clean your life up. You know what I'm saying?
Like I told him, I'm gonna make sure your appointments are set up. I'm gonna make sure that you have your medication that you need to be taking. I'm gonna make sure that the place that you go to sleep at night is clean from top to bottom. I'll make sure those bed sheets, those towels, everything that touches your skin is clean. You know, anything that you
can. And there's nothing like loving somebody from the inside out.
Yeah.
Like, and that's physical love and, like, touch, like that, and the attraction and great sex. That's all fucking great. That is all great on paper. But when the lights turn off, and the dry spells start, and the loneliness kicks in, and the depression in, kicks in and you get older, or you lose your job, or you lose your mom or dad, or you're just not you anymore. That person that may not be great at all those things that you are so used to, that you feel like are the physicalities more than they are the emotional side, bro, that's where it matters the most. And I'm not saying that because I'm going through something. I'm saying that because it's so true. The older you get, the more the mundane is attractive versus the nightlife, the fun, the hoes, the turning up, the live fast, die young. Like that's
not appeasing. No. And I'm going to sit there and bring this little topic up, not because I'm trying to go off on anybody or trying to sit there and ridicule anybody else, but you and the boys' departure now is going to sit there and test their true colors between one another, because God forbid the bigger or the smaller, the medium one end up going through issues where like they lose a family member, and then they sit there and try to respond or react or try to get some type of emotion from the other individual, and then they don't give them what they're looking for, right? At that point, they're going to realize there's turmoil between them as well, right? Because again, when everything's good and grand and there's no issues between y'all, absolutely, right? You have no care in the world. But when you have a flat tire and you reach out to somebody who you think will have your back because they're right down the street, but decide to decline your phone call or say, oh, I'm busy, or hey, you know what, friend, I'm not really feeling too hot. I can't drive myself to the hospital. You know what I'm saying? Like those kind of things. The real life.
I was definitely that friend you can call at any time. I'm definitely that friend you can lean on. I'm definitely that friend you can stay on the phone with. I am definitely that friend. I will be there for you. I can 100% say yes without a single doubt. That's who I am. I was very much, and I was that for a lot of fucking people.
No, but I'm saying is like for them though, God forbid they lose the relatives that, you know what I'm saying, that they love and adore.
Yeah, I would not wish that on anybody. And I'm not saying something like,
but the reality is
when you do lose somebody, you're going to remember what I went through.
No.
How you didn't reach out. I'm not saying that.
No.
I don't want that.
I think that what happens is the scoff goes away, because at that point you're just like, oh man. Because again, no one ever cares until it's time for them to care. And again, like I said,
it's not of a significance until
because
it's significant in your life. Because, you know what I mean? No,
exactly. When you said not to keep on this for too long, but when you said the other one is like he likes drama free, all this other shit, it's all drama free until it's not drama free. And then what you're gonna do about it? Because at that point, what are you gonna do? Just ignore the loss of life? No.
Yeah.
But anyways. Next, bitch.
You stupid. I know we didn't, because we're like 76 minutes in. I know. We can definitely
make a part two.
Even though you said this is the season finale.
This is the preseason finale. Yeah, this is the preseason finale, right?
We'll have one more because we did want to talk about like preferences and would you date you? We don't have enough time. We do, but we're not. I don't want to carry too much on.
No, my man got home, and I'm gonna stick a stick
from the back,
right through his back, through his shouts. How did Nick say it? Through his shouts?
You stupid. But yeah, no.
Also, we're gonna talk about this real quickly. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like Pink Friday 2, but I don't love Pink Friday 2. Pink Friday 2 is out of all five albums is ranked. It can probably make its way. No, actually, I'm not gonna lie to you. It's gonna be on the five. It's gonna be on the ranking number five for me.
This is number three.
No. Because for me, it's Pink Friday, Roman Reloaded, the first one. Pink Friday 2. I preferred Queen over the Pink Print, only because the Pink Print is more of like a vulnerable Nicki. And I love Vulnerable Nicki. The thing about it, though, is like I was introduced to hype up front rap style Nicki. I wasn't introduced to R&B Nicki right off the bat. You know what I'm saying? She later became that. So for me, again, it's not like, oh, which one's the worst? Because it's not. I don't think any of her albums are bad. I just didn't appreciate it as much as I did Roman Reloaded. I loved that one because it was half and half. This album, the new album, is not half and half. It's a lot of things, actually, but that doesn't make it a bad album. It just doesn't make it my favorite album.
Yeah. No, I like this album. I'm not in love with it, but I do like it. I strongly, strongly like it. And I do the tracks that are constantly in rotation are like four or five.
You need to listen to the Keisha.
Make me love it.
You need to listen to the Keisha Cole and Monica record. I love that song. But I also, okay. But I'm not gonna lie to you. But I also do feel like, again, if you're gonna give me an album, give me an album. Don't start to release extra singles here and there as a different version, because you know what I call those deluxes.
You're gonna give me a top. Give me a top and a right, bottom. Right. I'm just kidding.
No. But she's apparently this week going to release Roman and Malibu, so we're going to find out.
Oh, shit.
Right? Let's see what
Roman is. Is that like Roman and Moscow?
Well, yeah, Roman and Moscow. Yeah, well, this Roman is Roman. Malibu. This is Roman Zelensky, not to be confused with Polanski.
Okay.
That's what she said. Right. No. But we're going to have a part two before.
Yeah. We will. I don't think this is going to be the season finale. We may have one or two more in us. Even though Gio's going to say every single episode, this is easy to be done. This is easy to be done.
Well, I mean, the reality is we would have had it sooner, but unfortunately, life took its life.
Life is always lifing over here, especially with me. Life is always fucking lifing. There's always something. Hopefully now I can just smooth sailing from here, because I need a fucking break. Like, yeah, 2023, fuck you. Fuck you. We're wrapping it up. Fuck you. But, you know, like I said, I've learned a lot about myself, good and then, bad.
And then 2024, I'm going to bust out another line from Nicki Minaj where she says, I'm a Republican that voted for Mitt Romney.
You're stupid. We're going to wrap it up. I think you gave the last quote. So I'm going to give the quote. This one, I found this one. It's from a Giveon song. It's called Unholy Matrimony. There's a quote in it that I really like. So love will give you what you need, but also take what you don't appreciate.
Ooh.
Mm.
Suckers Vic through his shouts.
What are you about to do? All right, fatties, we're out. Love, peace, and cinema.
All right, bye.